Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, as the month of July has been our revival month, and we've just been looking at living in a state of revival, not only getting revived, but also continue to live in a state of revival. And I trust it has been a help and a blessing as we've gone through the month of July. I believe this would be an appropriate message, and I believe this is where God has led us today to close out our revival month in Acts chapter 7. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 54 down to verse 60, the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 7. As I read, you follow right along with me here in starting with verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him, Stephen, with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come to you once again today, we thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity to assemble and to worship you and to praise you and to be ministered to through your church. Thank you for each one that has taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church, to be here today. And now I just pray, God, that you would work in our midst. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here in Acts chapter 7, we find the Bible records the actual murder of God's servant, Stephen. And yet, as we think of Stephen being stoned, or if you will, he was murdered by the crowd, by the council, I find myself rejoicing. And I know I'm not weird, nor do I have a sadistic warped mind for somebody to rejoice over somebody else being murdered or dying and being killed. But Stephen would die. But can I tell you that if he were here, he would say the same thing is okay. It was all right. Because God and Stephen were in control. God was in control of the circumstances of this event. Can I tell you that God controls the circumstances in everyone's lives? Now, he has to allow certain things to happen because he has given to mankind a free will. And when he allows a man to have a free will, there's sometimes that free will of one will affect the other, someone else. That's the reality, but yet God would not allow anything to happen without him having a purpose and a plan for it. It's hard for us to fully understand sometimes how could God allow one of his choice servants to be stoned to death. And yet we find not only was God in control of the circumstances of Stephen's life, Stephen was in control of his mind and in control of his actions. Stephen was preaching Christ. It's what he had surrendered his life to do. He would preach Christ wherever Christ would open a door for him to preach. He knew he was preaching to a tough crowd. A crowd that did not want to hear what he had to preach. And he knew ahead of time there would be a very large possibility that they would revolt against what he preached and that he could possibly be stoned. He would have known that going into it. But he was in control of his mind and his actions when he preached. Now, chapter 7, it's a great chapter. Read it. He's probably preaching a long time here. He goes from the very beginning all the way through, leading all the way up to the crucifixion of Christ. He went all the way up to what's going on. And this is what he concludes in the message that he preached to them. In verse 51, he says this, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." That might have riled the crowd a little bit. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." He's telling them that you're murderers. And they are. They murdered Christ, but he allowed himself to be murdered. No one could have taken his life. He revealed that he laid his life down because of his love for humanity. And Stephen is just preaching the truth. Whether they would receive it or not, it's what they needed to hear. And it's what he had given himself to do, even if it meant laying down his life. "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and not have kept it." They had the truth. They knew the Messiah was coming. The Messiah came and they crucified him. They would know exactly what he was saying and condemning them because of what they had done. But Stephen was preaching Christ. If you're going to die, wouldn't you want to die doing something that you love doing? If God's going to use your life, not only as you have life to live, but if God's going to use your home going, your passing from this life to the next, I just as soon die from the pulpit, amen, preaching the word of God. No better place. That might not be a good experience for you, but if God allowed it, if God allowed it, then he would use it in your life. Amen? Yeah. Who knows what my dying words would be, you know? The last thing I would say. God was in control of the circumstances. Stephen was in control of what he was doing. His mind, his thinking, and his actions. Stephen, as he was being stoned, knowing that he was going to die, verse 59, "And they stoned Stephen." Now this is Stephen calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Wow, that's rejoicing. When you die, to have enough faith, to have an understanding, and to look up with a smile, even as you're going through some of the most horrific suffering the body could possibly have to go through, being stoned. But he was able to go beyond that, and he was able to call out to Jesus to receive his spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice for all of them to hear that was stoning him, "Lay not this sin to their charge." This is more for the people to understand and to hear. How could this man do such a thing here? He is being stoned, and not only is he looking up to heaven and calling upon Jesus to receive his spirit, but then he's actually thinking of those who have stoned him, those that were taking his life, and he asked God not to lay that sin, it was murder, to their charge. Lay not this sin. I couldn't have done that. Not in my strength. Neither could you do that in your strength. So I'm thinking, I could only hope that I would have that kind of strength in that hour if God chose to allow me to go through that. That's rejoicing. He was in control of his mind, his actions. He was preaching Christ. He asked God not to take to charge them for the sin that they were committing. And then he said, "Good night." I love it. I love it. That's what the Bible says, is that he fell asleep. Yeah, because he knew that he was going to wake up in the arms of his Savior. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he did that. He did that. Knowing that he did that in the will of God, how can you not rejoice? He overcame fear of people, of death. You find no fear in his voice, in his words. Overcome fear. One of Satan's greatest tools. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but the devil does. And you can overcome that spirit of fear. Stephen would overcome the spirit of fear. He would overcome this panic. And what am I going to do? They're stoning me. The idea that he was in this, he would overcome this fear. He would overcome this panic. He would overcome even the very pain that he was enduring and suffering and vengeance. And anger. He would overcome all the emotions of life. Stephen not only lived his life in a state of revival, he went into this in a state of revival, but he would graduate out of this life in a state of revival. Reading this chapter 7 and understanding all that's taking place, wow. If I could only do that, if I could face every circumstance of life, if I could face whatever it was that no devil would throw at me, if I could face it in a state of revival, having my own mind, having right thinking, overcoming all these things, and then not only living my life in this state of revival, but when it comes time for God to say, "All right, it's finished, your race is over, you've accomplished what I've had you on the earth to accomplish, come on home," to be able to finish my race and check out of this life in a state of revival. I'm rejoicing that I have that testimony of one who did. The message I want to preach to you this morning, how could he do this? The reason that I rejoice over this murder of Stephen is because God has recorded for us how. Stephen was able to do what he did. A much needed lesson for all of us. Who knows what a day may bring? There's been days, as I look back over my life, I had no idea what I was going to have to endure in that day. I just looked back and I was thinking, well, I'd have been scared to death to open my eyes if I knew what I was going to have to face that day. But I look back and I thought, 66 years later, I have endured everything. All the circumstances of my life for 66 years, I'm still here. And I'm doing what God's called me to do. Wow. If you'd have told me that I would have had to face some of the things I've faced, I said, no way. No way could I overcome all of those circumstances and all those feelings and all those thoughts and all that evil. I just couldn't do it. And yet, looking back, I did it. How? How? Verse 55. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. Underline that. That's how. That's the first step in how. That is the key to everything that takes place in chapter 7, especially in the end when Stephen was being stoned. The Bible records he being full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians, and let me just read this to you. You might write some of these verses down that I'm going to read to you. But in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, in verse 17 and 18, it says this, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Understanding that God is real and that God's will for my life is what's most important, no matter if it's in life or in death. It's God's will. That's what I'm looking for. And he says in that, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, the third part of the Trinity of God. We study the scriptures and we know from the very beginning of creation there was a Trinity, and there will always be, because there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity of God. And the Bible says we are to be filled, and the Bible reveals to Stephen and what he had to endure and how he was able to endure it. And the first thing that we find in learning how he was able to endure it the way that he did was that he was full of the Holy Ghost. This filling will affect our wills. Knowing what he was going into, he had to know he was possibly going to be stoned if they did not receive it, but it was the will of God for him to preach the word of God. And so knowing that he was full of the Holy Spirit impacted his will. He was able to do what he knew God's will was for his life. It would have affected his heart. It would have affected his feelings. It would have affected his emotions. Being filled with the Spirit of God will affect how we get through things and overcome even the feelings of fear and panic and vengeance and anger. And it would affect his mind, because being filled with the Holy Ghost would help him to keep the right things on his mind, even while he was being stoned, which the Bible says in Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In order for Stephen to do what he did and to say the things that he said and to be able to fall asleep in the midst of being stoned, he had the right things on his mind. You know, the key to facing the different trials and tragedies of life is keeping the right things on your mind. God allows other people's sins to affect us, and God allows the devil to be able to tempt us and to work in our lives and try to give us a spirit of fear. But he does not allow anyone to control what you keep on your mind. He allows you to have control of your mind. And you choose what you think. If you don't want to think it, stop it. If it's not what you ought to be thinking, then don't think it. Stop it. In order to know what's right to think, you have to know. In order to think right, you have to know what's right to think. If you study the Bible, you study Christ, and you study the examples, that's what's right to think. And we have to know that and then tell ourselves, you're going to think that way. Think on these things. Being filled with the Spirit will affect that. We get control of ourselves by being full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians in chapter 1, what is that? And just in case you don't know, what is that? What is being filled, being full of the Holy Ghost? What is being filled by the Spirit of God? What is that? Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You can have spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is what God's choice was. This is why God created humanity, having predestinated. And that's what God has designed it this way. God's predestination for all people is unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God says, my will is for all humanity is that they would be brought back into the family of God through my son, through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you can have reconciliation with God is through Jesus Christ, through the very blood of Jesus Christ. And that because God has predestinated one design, one plan for salvation, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That is what God's plan is for all humanity. Not all will receive him. It's God's will that none perish, but that all have come to a place of repentance. But It's up to that free will of that individual to receive Christ, but it is God's will for you to receive Jesus as your Savior. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, look back down here in verse 13, it says this, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth." For you to be saved, you have to know this is the word, this is God's word, this is what God says, this is truth. I'm lost on my way to a devil's hell. Jesus paid my sin debt some 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. Now, I've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whom also after that ye believed. You heard it, somebody told you that, and you believe that, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, a down payment, if you will, of our inheritance, which is everlasting eternal life, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What did that say? It said, God loves you. You have a sin nature, born with it, you're born separated from God. But when you reach that age of accountability, you make a decision of what you do with Jesus Christ. Because that's God's only plan for salvation from the very beginning. What you do with Jesus Christ. If you believe and receive Christ as your Savior, he seals you to the day of redemption. In this life, if you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in you. Ephesians in chapter 4, in verse 30, it says this. Ephesians in chapter 4, the very same book that we just read. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." If you're saved, then you have the Holy Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost of God. He dwell within you, and he has sealed your soul. He has sealed your spirit. You cannot lose your salvation, your life, your eternal life, because you are sealed. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because he is sealed. He is sealed inside of you. How do I know that I have him? You first of all have to know the words of God, the promises of God. You have to believe it, and you have to know that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are saved, you are sealed. Sealed. Got God inside of you. I can't tell you, I can't look around here. If I had spiritual vision, I could see the halo over every saved person. I can see the horns on the others. Sometimes I wish I could have that kind of spiritual vision. I can't, neither can you. But you know, if you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, only you know if something's different. You could still commit any sin that any other person could commit, but you can't commit them outside the conviction and the chastisement of the Holy Spirit of God who dwells with you. He'll take away your peace. Only you know. If you can sin and enjoy the pleasures of sin without the conviction of God, you're not sealed. You don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Bible records, it gives us all the information to know whether or not you are saved. And if you're saved, you are sealed. To know whether you're sealed, to know whether you have the Holy Spirit, only you know that. But you will know a difference. It's not enough just to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. It's where you can't be filled outside of having the Holy Spirit. Being full is first of all dependent upon you having the Holy Spirit. Being filled is letting the Holy Spirit have you. When you're saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit that you can ever have. He doesn't come in portions. He's a person. He's the person of God the Holy Spirit. He's all intact. You either have him or you don't. When you get saved, Jesus sends him to you and he seals you. And he dwells within you. You have to have him. You have to know that you have him to be filled. The way you're filled is you give him control of you. To be able to face the very difficult times of life, he has to have all of you. Some people want to just live the Christian life with just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. I want to live my Christian life being full. All that I can have of the Holy Spirit. And that's depending upon your will. Salvation is a gift. You have an everlasting life. And you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The question is, again, how much of the Holy Spirit, how much of you does he have? Who can make the best spiritual decisions? You or the Holy Spirit? I guarantee if it's left up to you, you're going to make a fleshly decision. But if you yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll make a spiritual decision. Ephesians in chapter 6, let me read this to you. You can write it down. This is a very important passage of scripture with what we're preaching here this morning. Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 11. Let me read this to you. Listen very clearly. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That's being filled. Yielding yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I want to yield my mind. I want to yield my body. I want to yield everything about me over to that which will make the right decisions, over to that which will give me the peace that passeth all understanding, over to that which will give me the strength I need in the midst of any and all events of my life. No matter what kind of circumstances I'm faced with, I need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. If I am full of the Holy Ghost, I am going to be able to have the strength to deal with and get through whatever that might be. So yes, I rejoice over the death of Stephen, because what a tremendous example, what a tremendous testimony for me to glean from. And realize, if he did it, so can I. Being full of the Holy Ghost is just turning all of me over to him. Dying to self and being alive, yielding to that which dwells within me. And go back with me, I'm going to close with this. But the next thing that he gives to us, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. By faith, Stephen was able to see that which is invisible to the naked eye. Can you see that which you can't see? The Bible says steadfastly. That's key. Looked up steadfastly, without doubt, unwavering. He looked up and saw what he believed and knew to be real. Did he see him in his mind? Or did God open up his spiritual eyes to see that the naked eye cannot see, but is reality in the spiritual kingdom of God? I don't know that it really matters. He saw it. If he saw it in his mind, it's because he knew it to be real. He knew what it was that he was going to see if he could see into heaven. And can I tell you, you can have that very same faith to know that it's real. And you can see that which you can't see with the naked eye, but you know to be real. And what we need to be able to see as we're going through some of the most difficult times of life, a Savior who loved me enough to lay down his life so that I might have life. Yeah. By faith, Stephen was able to see what he knew was real. A personal revival will come when we get control of our minds. When we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost that dwells within us, and we see that which cannot be seen, but we know is real. It'll help us to get control of our hearts, to get control of our mind, get control of our wills. And it will help us to overcome fear, panic, pain, suffering, vengeance, anger, and whatever else Satan might try to throw our way. What a great testimony to rejoice over. Not necessarily the murder, but what he was able to endure and how he was able to get through, no doubt, one of the most difficult times that anyone would ever have to face. Do you know that you have the indwelling? How much of the Holy Ghost has you? And is your faith where it needs to be? Revival's right here in front of us. If you'll just look to those things. If I could have every head bowed at this time and every eye closed, think about it. It's available to us. It's available to you. All you have to do is yield and be confident in your faith. It'll get you through difficult times. Father, we bow before you and we do love you, Lord. Thank you for the testimony that we find here of the stoning of Stephen. And God, not necessarily the stoning, but Stephen and how he was able to address it and how he was able to get the victory even in the midst. Help us, God, that we would have this revival, that we would have this victory, not only in life, but in death. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.